either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, I was given the opportunity to visit Malawi and Harare, the capital city of Zimbabwe. Though the trip was for a very short duration, only 1 week, but there is a lot to gain when you travel generally. As an Urdu poet has mentioned, safar sakar hota hai. Safar sakar hota hai. There is no doubt when you travel there is hardship, lekin wasile zafar hota hai. But there is always something there a person will gain. There is always something there that a person will gain. So alhamdulillah, this invite was for an opening of a masjid in Malawi, a town which is called Lunzu, not far away from Blantyre and Limbi, a very beautiful masjid. And in fact, a lot of the Muslims that are settled now here in England, in Leicester, are connected to Malawi. And once upon a time it was their hometown. And that is why you will see that from Leicester, alhamdulillah, the Leicester Muslim community has supported that part of the region all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. The Muslims of Leicester are very, very sakhi, generous people. And we also pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of sadaqah jariyah for marhum Ismail by CBC and their family, who had funded the majority part of that masjid. May Allah make it for them sadaqah jariyah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we are in this dunya not just to eat, drink and sleep, but Allah has given us a very important mission. May we be great ambassadors to spread the deen of Islam. That is why there is one narration narrated by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Man bana lillahi masjidan. مَنْ بَنَا لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That person who builds a masjid for Allah, that person who builds a masjid for Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for him a beautiful mansion in Jannah. Allah will build for him a beautiful mansion in Jannah. Now just for us to understand the hadith, it does not mean that a person needs to be a millionaire or a person who is very, very rich. The hadith is not talking about an individual who solely as an individual should finance the construction of the masjid, not at all. In fact, in another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَمَفْحَسِ قَطَاتْ أَوْ أَزْغَرْ, that if a person has contributed to a masjid equal to a bird's nest, equal to a bird's nest, or even smaller. Now, obviously, there is no masjid in size that is equal to a bird's nest. The muhaddiseen have explained that the meaning is that even if a person has given a minimal amount, a very small amount, towards the construction, towards the running of the masjid, towards a good project, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, even if he has given 1 pound, even if he has given 1 pound, by the mercy of Allah, that 1 pound means one mansion in Jannah. That is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That you have given 1 pound for the construction, for an example. That even 1 pound that you give for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah will give you a great mansion in Jannah. So alhamdulillah, our fathers and grandparents were very generous people. The younger generation, the educated ones, they should also have a very big heart. And this legacy should continue for the Muslimin. This is something that is very, very important. Otherwise, it will be extremely difficult for Islam to spread and for the activities to take place. So these are things that we really need to look at. One man who was of Jewish descent came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, O Muhammad bin Abdullah alayhi salatu wa salam, tell me, which is the most beloved location to God Almighty? Which is the most beloved location on this earth to God Almighty? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wait, let Jibreel Amin come and I will give you the answer. Jibreel Amin came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Jibreel, this Jewish man is asking me this question. Which is the most beloved location to God? And Jibreel Amin said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him. Let me go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him. So he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he came back. And he informed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that individual. And he said to him, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا, that the most beloved venues and locations to Allah are places where the masajid have been built. Are places where the masajid have been built. And the most hated, detested places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the souq, wa abghadhu al-biladi ilallah aswaquha, where you have the city centers, the bazaar, town centers. These are places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Because that is where the shayateen are. That is where people do disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zones of ghaflat, where a person will forget what he is here for in this dunya. Because dunya is open in front of him. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him and he says, yes, you are absolutely right. And so as believers, alhamdulillah, we should always have some connection in this dunya to good projects. We should have connections to good projects, that we should always serve and do khidmat for the pleasure of Allah without fitna. For the pleasure of Allah without fitna. Because in fitna there is nothing. But do something for the pleasure of Allah. What is it? That you have the right intention and you are pleasing only who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that be a khadim, be a khadim. That is why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah save us, has said, a time will come upon my ummah. La yabqa min al-islami illa ism. Nothing will remain of Islam but its name. Nothing will remain of Islam but its name. Allah save us. Masajiduhum amirun, amiratun. That the masjid will be with a lot of people, but it will be void of hidayat. It will be void of hidayat. There will be no hidayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that our intention is right. These charity organizations should work for the pleasure of Allah. It should not be a means of boosting your own business. It should not be a means of boosting your own business or making money out of the poor people that are out there. Now there's a lot when you travel, my respected brothers, that you see with your two eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give ikhlas to everyone. May Allah give ikhlas to everyone, that we do everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the masjid is the main location. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a person sitting in the masjid, he feels sukoon. What does he feel? Like how a fish will feel sukoon in the water. A fish will feel sukoon in the water. And a person who has weak iman, he will want to exit the masjid quickly. Like how a bird is trapped in a cage, wants to exit the masjid. Wants to exit the masjid. So alhamdulillah, even sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is great ni'mah. Spending time. That is why du'as are accepted in the masajid. That is why i'tikaf is in the masjid. That is why there is greater reward for praying salah with jama'at. That is why you make du'a at home, and when you make du'a here in the masjid, there is a greater chance of istijab and mustajab. Allah will accept it. Because in the house of Allah, you also have the gathering of the malaika. And the malaika are with all of us sitting together. And they do the zikr of Allah and they say ameen to the du'a of the people of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The youth that are here, mashallah. Glad tidings. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 7 types of people will be given shade on the day of Qiyamah. 7 types of people. Remember, when you come out from your graves, everyone will be naked. No clothes. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, so much haya, she got worried. O Nabi of Allah, men will look at women, women will look at men. Allah's Nabi said, no. The affair at that time, the affair of people and humanity at that time will be so severe and it will be so difficult for the people that the mind will not even drift in that direction. The mind will not even drift in that direction. Imagine, for an example, somebody is naked in front of you here, and if one part of your house catches fire, example, Allah save us all, will you have time to think what's there? No. A person will not think. Subhanallah. So the day of Qiyamah will be so difficult. So difficult, and people will be looking for a place where they could have some shade and rest. And one location will be under the arsh of Allah. And one group of people who Allah will give permission to rest under His arsh are those, وَقَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّكٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. Those whose hearts are mu'allak, attached.
A hanging with the masjid. What is it? A hanging with the masjid. Attached with the masjid. They are regular. The youth, mashallah. They come for salah. They come to the masjid. They will do ikram. They will do everything. They are connected to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are the things that we need to make sure that we continue with. That we continue with. Now, subhanallah, visiting Africa, I myself was born in Africa, so generally if you visit any part of Africa, there is one thing very ajeeb, fascinating about Africa, and when I talk about Africa, I'm talking about the locals, the indigenous population that is there. Most of the people that are there in many parts of Africa are people who are very, very poor. Very, very poor. The local Africans that are there. And sadly, everybody that has come has always come with the intention to rob. The colonials came, other people have come, whatever, sadly. Illa masha'Allah, except for those who are God-fearing and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one thing that is so amazing about these individuals, if you look at Malawi for an example, it is considered to be one of the poorest countries of the world. One of the poorest countries of the world. And the average salary of a man working in Malawi is £25 a month. What is it? £25 a month. Imagine that. Can any one of us here live on £25 a month? Allahu Akbar. £25 a month, but they are always smiling. Ajeeb. They are always active. They are always happy. The salary is £25 a month, but they are always happy. You will never see them complaining. Oh, we haven't got this. Oh, we haven't got that. Oh, we haven't got this. Oh, we haven't got that. £25. And they are always smiling. They have so much sabr. If Allah gives them food for that one day, they eat. What is there for tomorrow? Allah knows. What is there for tomorrow? Allah knows. That is the level of poverty that is out there in the world. And not just in Africa, of course, in many parts of the world, even in India, even in Bangladesh, you go, you'll find in many, many parts. In fact, you know, you'll find people who are poor also in Europe, to the standard of Europe. But subhanallah, extreme poverty, you will witness in that part of the world. One bread and that is it. One bread. But yet, they can smile, yet they are happy, yet there is energy, yet they will do whatever they have to do. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِفْتَاح. For everything there is a key. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِفْتَاح. مِفْتَاحٌ. For everything there is a key. وَمِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ حُبُّ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْفُقَرَاءِ. And the key for Jannah, is the love for the miskeen, for the poor people, the love for the fuqara, that is the key to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. In fact, you will see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointing this out to our Nabi. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. O my Nabi, be steadfast with those who are doing sabr, and they are doing sabr day and night, the poor, muhajireen, the companions that are with you, and that they are remembering Allah day and night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these poor people that are with you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't even take your eyes off them. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ أَنْهُمْ. أَبْنِي نِغَا أُنْسَ مَتْ هَتَانَا. Don't even take your eyes out from them. Don't even take your eyesight off from them, to turn the other way. No, no. Look at them. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. And so to love the miskeen, to love the masakeen, to love the orphans, to love those who are poor people, and to be with them, and to sit with them, and to share a platter of food with them, and to talk with them, and to be with them, and to understand them. That is the great sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِيُبَشِّرَ الْفُقَرَاءَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give glad tidings to the poor people of my ummah. Give glad tidings to the poor people of my ummah. O Nabi of Allah, what is the glad tidings? Give glad tidings to the poor people of my ummah. They shall enter Jannah half a day before the rich. They will enter Jannah half a day before the rich. Now what is half a day? 500 years. What is half a day? They will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich. In the hadith it comes, Yan'amun. They will already have started enjoying the pleasures of Jannah. And then the rich will be coming in slowly. Allahu Akbar. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. Allahumma ahyini miskina. Allah, give me a life in which I am presented as a miskeen. Give me a life in which I am presented as a miskeen. Wa amitni miskina. And Allah, let death come to me as a miskeen. Wahshurni zumrat al masakeen. And Allah, gather me on the day of Qiyamah with the poor people, with the poor batch of people. That is why in the hadith it comes that it was the poor batch of people that lifted the banner of Islam with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a time will come that Islam will return towards that side again. That it will be the poor people that will do jaddu jihad to move along and to spread the iman and spread Islam. It will be the common man who will be doing all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers. Now, there is nothing wrong with being rich and there is nothing wrong with being poor. As long as, alhamdulillah, we have iman and we know what is our duty. And we know what is our duty. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Tuhfatul mu'mini fi dunya al-faqr." A gift that can be given to a believer in this dunya is poverty. A gift that can be given to a believer in this dunya is poverty. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as his iman is strong. Now to understand, there is one hadith Qudsi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi has mentioned this very ajeeb hadith. It's hadith Qudsi, as in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have created my slaves, and from amongst my slaves, as in those who have iman, from amongst my slaves, those who have iman, it is better for many of them to be very, very rich. It is better for them to be very, very rich. And Allah says, if I was to impoverish them, then their iman would be corrupted. Their iman would be corrupted. And it is better for some in my servants to be poor. It is better from my servants for some to be poor. Because if Allah gave them wealth, then this wealth will corrupt them. This wealth will. So Allah is saying, I know the affairs. I know the affairs. I know the level of that individual. Who has the power and who does not have the power. And whom to give wealth and whom not to give wealth, that is with me. So alhamdulillah, everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the definition of wealth in Islam is very different to what you will find in the dictionary, or to what you will find if somebody was to tell you the meaning of wealth or to be rich. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ. That wealth is not to own many, many properties. Wealth does not mean that you own many, many properties. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. But rich and to be wealthy, it means that you are content and happy with whatever Allah has given you. That whatever Allah has given you, a person is happy with that. That is the meaning of true wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have got this quality of ghinan nafs. Ghinan nafs. Which is something very, very important. In the hadith it comes that Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an, very ajeeb sahabi. Hazrat Abu Zar was a very ajeeb sahabi. And he was walking in the night, and all of a sudden he saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking unaccompanied, all alone in the night. So he quickly ran towards Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he stopped. And he thought that maybe Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to be alone. Maybe he wants to be alone. So I should not accompany him. But then he thought that maybe it's night, it's better for the safety of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if he needs something. So he decided that I will allow him to walk alone, but at a distance, but I will keep guard and watch him. And so at a distance, Abu Dharr was walking behind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of a sudden turned around at the back. And he saw Hazrat Abu Dharr. So he stopped. And he says, Abu Dharr, come here. Abu Dharr, come here. So Abu Dharr quickly came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Dharr, come and walk with me. This was the akhlaq of Huzur alayhi salam. He loved everyone. He loved everyone. He says, come and walk with me. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Abu Dharr, listen to me very, very carefully what I'm going to say to you. And he is the narrator of this hadith. He says, remember that the rich of my ummah are going to be very, very poor on the day of Qiyamah. The rich of my ummah will be very, very poor on the day of Qiyamah. Except for those who know how to spend wealth in the path of Allah and who know how to give charity. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they give so much charity that they give from the right, they give from the left, they give from the front, they give from the back, and they do good deeds. Then they are the best of the best. Then they are the... Otherwise, my ummah, if Allah has given them wealth and they don't understand how to distribute wealth or how to deal with wealth and fear that poverty will come to them and they hoard wealth, this is a disease and sickness. And so Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an is narrating this. That is why generally you will find that alhamdulillah for the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great opportunity to do a lot in this dunya. Now, understand that in Islam there is two kinds of faqr. Faqr means poverty. There is two types of poverty. There is two types of poverty. One is material poverty and one is spiritual poverty. In Islam, there is two types of poverty. One is material poverty and one is spiritual poverty. Alhamdulillah,
what we are seeing nowadays, that the Muslims are at the forefront when it comes to material poverty. What is it? The distribution of food and water and blankets and this and that and giving to everybody and mashallah building masjids here and there and to get rid of that material poverty that is there. Alhamdulillah, that is very, very good. There are two types of poverty. But in Sharia, the real poverty. Because if a person dies from hunger, then death came to him. But if he hasn't got Iman, he goes to Jahannam. Where does he go to? Where does he go to? Jahannam. So in Sharia, if you look at the lives of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een, their motto in life and their aim in life was to eliminate spiritual poverty. What was it? Because when you eliminate spiritual poverty, and when you take on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you then keep reliance upon Him, then Allah is saying, I am Razzaq. What am I? I am Razzaq. Somehow, someway, Allah will give you everything. Even if you are lost in the desert, Allah will give you. Because your reliance is with who? But when your wiring is not there, when that spiritual connection is not there, then the rahmat of Allah is not there. It does not attract the rahmat of Allah. So today, a lot of the charity organizations, a lot of the ummah, mashallah, that are working, Allah give them the tawfiq to do good works. But sadly, what you will see is that their concern is only to eradicate material poverty. Khana de diya, bicharo ko blanket de di, kuch tents de diya, ye de diya, finished. And a few video clips here and a few video clips here. And that's it. Our charity should run. Our money should be coming in. So we also have a good living. Forgive me. I will speak what I have seen. I will speak what I have seen. If I am wrong, maaf, and Allah forgive me. But Sharia is this. Sharia is about looking into spiritual poverty. What is it? Spiritual poverty. And I was there in Malawi, and somebody said to me, Maulana, Malawi is so fertile. Malawi is so fertile that if you throw anything, within 6 months it will grow. If you throw something, a seed or something, in 6 months it will grow by itself. It is so fertile. So I said to him, mashallah, if it is so fertile, have you thrown the seeds of Iman and Islam? And the bulk of the people are so soft. Their hearts are so soft. Such incredible people, so good, wallah, that if a man takes on a mission that I want to make sure 100% this region should all accept Islam with the right intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of Iman for that person. But the problem is we don't know how to work. The problem is we just look at material poverty. Material poverty. Sadly, even the scholars don't know how to work. Even the ulama don't know what to do and what not to do. Wallahu alam, what is the reason? I don't know. It is, sometimes when you look at the Quran and when I'm reading the Quran, is it, what am I reading by? This is what our scholars have taught us. This is the hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to make an announcement. Qul, Ya Muhammad, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat of the Quran. Qul hazihi sabili. That this is my profession, this is my path, this is my route. Qul hazihi sabili. What is hazihi sabili? O my Nabi, what is your path? Ad'u ila Allah. Ad'u ila Allah. I invite people
to Allah. I invite people to Allah. Adu'u ila Allah ala basiratin, with basirat, with insight, with hikmat, with wisdom. Ana wa man ittaba'ani. And then there are those good people who will want to follow me. Wa subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, I am not from the mushrikeen. Open verses of the Quran that we should be thinking now more towards removing spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty. What have we done for that? Trucks ke trucks humne diye bhai, ye sab theek hai. Sab theek. But we need an ummah who understands this. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let they be a nation from my ummah, the Quran is saying. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, that they invite to khayr. The ulama have mentioned khayr here is towards Allah, towards Islam. Because a person can never reach khayr without Allah, without Islam. And أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهِيَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And these are the people who are the most successful. I am saying this, my brothers. So now, we change our mindset. What do we do? Alhamdulillah, the works we are doing, feeding, giving the poor, continue. But slightly change that, switch that. Have the fikr also, that more than this is to give iman. You know, we were traveling the internal flights that were there. And what we would see is that the plane was full of missionaries. What was it? Full of mission. The nuns. The nuns that you would never see in this country. The nuns that you would never see. I've not seen a nun. Have you seen a nun here in Leicester? For a long time I haven't seen a nun. But you see the nuns there, the priests, the padres. Every road that you travel, any road, any main road, you'll see images and pictures of great ministers inviting, come and do this. Because they have understood. They are doing, what are they doing? They are working towards, according to them, to bring people towards their spirituality. Which is batil, which is wrong. And our people, sadly, the people who go to Jamaat Tabligh, they think to do this work is haram. Forgive me. What nonsense. What nonsense. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We have to work at all levels. You can't say that it is not jais for a person to invite a non-Muslim to Islam because we are weak. What logic is that? Forgive me, not everybody thinks like that. I have great respect for the work of Jamaat. Alhamdulillah, I myself have gone for Jamaat. I have been to Raiwin. I have been to Europe Ijtima. Even though Hafiz Suleiman might not know of this, you know. But I've been to nearly all of the major cities in Spain. And in Portugal, the Amir of Jamaat, Amir Sulisab, Marhum Allah, give him Jannatul Firdaus. We were like this. And every weekend we went in the path of Allah. Because they were different people. So don't get me wrong. Don't think that if an alim speaks, you know, to tell you what is right and what is wrong, that, oh, we are offended. Don't be offended. What is there to be offended if somebody tells you something that is right? What is there to be offended? And there are one batch of people, they are stuck on this work only, bas. And they haven't got the vision, they haven't got the horizon to see, Allahu Akbar, what is happening to this ummah? What is happening to this ummah? And when an alim speaks, then say, ah, you see, this person doesn't like this work. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Anyone who registers this in their mind, I will quote them in front of my Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Was this in my heart? No, it was not in my heart. I send my children to Jamaat. I tell them go to Jamaat. But in the right way, we should have an open vision. Any man doing good works, respect him. Don't speak bad about Zakir Naik. Don't speak bad about anybody. Any man who is doing good works, They are your brothers. Let them do the good works. Let them do, anybody doing good works, let them do the good works. Illa, that they, you see something which is extremely wrong, then that is something else. But they are people who are working. And what I have seen, Allahu Akbar, wo kya kehte hai ke, chota muh bahut bari baat. They are our elders in this world, and they know what is right and what is wrong. But if we don't wake up, then it will be too late when we die. Because Allah is saying, وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask you for the blessings that Allah has given you. Allah does not need our money. To give iman, you don't need money. To talk about Allah and His Rasul, if there are 1 million Muslims in one part of Africa, and if they invite one person to Islam, that is instantly 2 million. Kitne hue? Somebody has been working for you, who makes your rotis, and who does your food, and does everything for you, and you've never ever spoken to him about Allah and His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul. It's all wrong. And the reason why I said this is that when I was there, I got all the ulama that were there. All the ulama. And I said to the ulama, I says, bhai, you know, it is your responsibility to do this. And so one of them said to me, no, our elders have said that we should not invite the locals to Islam. And that is why I said this to you. And that is why I said, there is kachra in the minds of even some scholars. Allahu Akbar. Allah save us. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. You know somebody, talk to them. Talk to them, bring people to Allah. That is my duty and your duty. Ye koi Shaykhul Hadith ka kaam nahi hai. Bichare the ulama have done all the good works. They've given you masjids, they've given you madrasas, they've given you darul ulums, they've even given you Islamic schools, they've given you tarbiyah, they've done everything. Now we have the wealth. Now we have the wealth. And sadly also, my respected brothers, waqt hai ya main bolu ya na bolu mushtaq? Bol du, because Umar Farooq is not here. Bol du, aaj kuch josh mein hu, bol du. Bol du. Sadly also I have seen that now you will find that the ulama that are qualifying, alims that are qualifying, are not even willing to teach 2 hours of madrasa. And are not willing to do imamat. Why? Because the pay we give them, the salary we give them, be it in Malawi, be it in Zimbabwe, be it in UK, be it in India, be it in Pakistan, be it in any part of the world, it is the lousiest salary that is there. And there are ulama who are prepared to become imams for the prisons. What? They are prepared to become imams for the prisons. And working for the ghair Muslim there. And doing a chaplaincy work. Why? Because they pay more than what the community can pay. And sadly, now I have seen this because I teach. When I teach, when I speak to my students, you know what they say to me? Maulvi Sahab, you know, after Alim class, I'm going to become a pharmacist. MashaAllah, very good. There are some now who have become doctors. They are now stopping. They don't want to become Hafiz and Alim. Why? Because from the top, there is a noose around their neck. You know, gone are the days when you could get people from India and Pakistan and pay them peanuts. And they will say, labbaik to you. Bichari ulama ka lakho ehsan. When I was there, I asked one of the alims there, bichara night and day, running here and there, here and there, what is your salary? $200. Bichari. Is this how Islam is going to spread? Brothers, you tell me. A time will come when nobody will teach our children. A time will come when nobody will do imamat here. A time will come. Wait. If we are not going to change our attitude, nobody wants to teach. Aaj kaho kisi ko imamat ke liye, it's very hard. He doesn't want to do imamat. He's not interested. What? Why? What do I get? I get WhatsApp messages. Oh, emergency. In Lincoln, we need an imam for 3 Jummas. And then it says, we will pay for the cost of travel. Wow. Doctor sahab, aap bataye, doctoron ki kitni income hai? Hai? Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ek plumber aata hai. Uski salary aap dekhe. Forgive me. Alhamdulillah, please don't get me wrong. I'm not, I love Masjid-e-Umar. And my committee members are sitting here. And we love each other and everything is very good. But I am talking on a general level. What am I talking? On a general level. This is happening everywhere. That is why we are not getting people who can be there and do khidmat. Because if they are going to travel to do khidmat, who will support them? Who will support them? And when you look at these nuns, when you look at these priests, when you look at these ministers when they go there, and when they go there, they are there for 1 year, all paid for, travel properly, everything is paid for. And it's not that this ummah hasn't got wealth, this ummah has got a lot of wealth. This ummah has got a lot of wealth. But sadly, those who, that tap of water that gives you knowledge, we don't want to spend, and we just want to invest in buildings. We want to invest in buildings. Sadly, do it. A time will come. Nobody will teach. Aaj dekhe, people are struggling. People don't want to teach for 2 hours in the maktab, bichare. Why? What do they get in maktab? They are better off doing private tuition at home. If they have 4 children, they will get much more. Subhanallah ilazim. And this is the reality. The problem is we ourselves are our own enemies. We don't know how to function. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The younger generation that is here and the people that are here, mashallah, I say this. That if you think I am wrong, you can come and talk to me also. And I'm a human being. But we have to make sure that we get things right. Otherwise, it will be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Varna koi bhi cheez nahi chalegi. Koi bhi cheez nahi chalegi. Allahu Akbar. Nothing will happen. Nowadays, the trend has changed. I had wanted to invite somebody for a lecture here at Masjid-e-Umar. I won't mention his name. A great speaker. A great speaker. I said, you know, he was in Leeds and he came from somewhere. And I said, can you arrange to speak at Masjid-e-Umar? So he said, yeah, you can speak to my secretary. I said, okay. I spoke to the secretary. The secretary said, okay, how long will the sheikh be doing the bayan and what topic? One session, £600. One session? I said, good, mashallah, that's very good. Now you, ulamas must do this to teach people. What is it? That's why Imam Nasa'i would not allow a free audience of hadith dars. There was an entry fee in his time. So he's saying £600. I says, why? Because, well, you know, this is the only khidmat the sheikh does. He travels the world and he speaks and the audience are benefiting. People are benefiting. So what do you expect? Who's going to, you know, when a doctor goes to lecture, when a professor goes to lecture, when somebody else goes to lecture, our mind, we understand very, very quickly. To hamare zehen mein baat aa jayegi, haan. But when a scholar goes to lecture, what happens? Petrol ke paise de dene. Kya kehte? पेट्रोल के पैसे दे देने, यही पेट्रोल के पैसे देने की आदत बन जाएगी मेरे अजीजों, एक वक्त आएगा एक बहुत जबरदस्त तमाचा खाएंगे. क्या खाएंगे? We think because we live in Leicester we don't see it, but go outside of Leicester, go outside and you go everywhere else in the world. That is the problem. And who a person needs to be and where he needs to be, he can't even be there. Because there's no khidmat, there is nothing. Who is going to go there? Other people know how to work. Other people know the avenues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I am saying this from my heart. And I am saying this for the pleasure of Allah. That this is what I am saying when I am teaching my students who are the future scholars of ulama and what their intentions are. Because nowadays my children and your children are very different. Your children and my children are very different. And you will see, if we don't change, if we don't show them the worth of the Quran and the Hadith, then the others will, and the others will take them, and they will value something else, and it will have an impact upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Dua kalli. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na. Gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.